I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. This week, we're looking behind the scenes at Delegates, and we have with us as guests the two creators of that series.
Ben Lee and Tina Ward.
And we are having a little audio problem at the beginning, so we'll be joining it in progress.
I kind of came to the world of entertainment as a writer and director, and came up and did short films, and then moved into doing web series in 2008 and did, five of them. Just recently directed the second season of the Emmy Award winning After Forever, and then my first one was Anyone But Me, which did really well. It has over 100 million views, I think, worldwide by now. Oh. And has been out in the world since 2008, so it's still out there going strong, and I've done a few more in between that. And so kind of more of my concentration has been in live action, but I've always kind of really loved comic books and always really wanted to work in them. And I had created a comic book called Guards of Dagmar that's on Comixology. And from there, I really kind of created it and because it was a live action pilot that I wanted to do. And so I didn't, have the money to go do a pilot. I decided to go make a first issue of a comic book of it. And, so that's how that came about. And so from there, I luckily have, met, Ben through a mutual friend who said, "Hey, I have this person who's looking to do a comic book, and I think he too would work well together." And I said, "Well, yeah, let's talk about it." And Ben and I kind of knew each other through our little web series world and all of our mutual friends, but we really hadn't really met or talked or any of that. So it was really kind of, the first time we really got to know each other was in writing Delegates. So it was kind of a fun experience of like learning more stuff about each other while writing this 30 issue comic book. And so I kind of came to it, and Ben had this idea for it, had all these, he'll tell you about the starting inspirations and all that other stuff. And then I kind of came in and started to help kind of put my stamp on it as well. So,
okay. So Ben, tell us about yourself.
The short of it.
So Ben, we understand you're a software engineer.
Yeah, I've worked in software development and QA engineering for ever since 2003 for various companies. But in between jobs, I've done some art projects. I've been lucky enough, I'm lucky enough where I can kind of pay for my own these art projects. I'm not as well accomplished as Tina. In the past, I wrote and directed a movie called Office Ninja, which I believe is still on Amazon, and some of the other one of those recent streaming TV apps or something like that. I can't remember which one, but it's still there. And then after that, I went back to software and then left software again, and decided that I wanted to take a shot at comic books. This idea I had, I felt like was too expansive to be a movie. And also, having been lucky enough to, write and direct the movie and produce it, I knew it was quite expensive. I decided to give it a shot, trying to write it like a comic book. And our friend Allison Benor, that Tina had mentioned, she mentioned that, Tina's written a comic book before, and I definitely felt like I could use that guidance of someone who's done it before. And obviously very much admired Tina's her writing and her, you know, not just her accomplishments, but just her writing is really, really good. So it felt like it was a very good fit for us.
Okay. Yeah, it was one of my questions was how you guys got together, which you kind of answered. So you're reading from my questions. So the idea of delegates was Ben's idea?
Yep.
Yeah, it was partly it came from a dream, but also when I thought about this, maybe, gosh, I think the idea probably sprung into my head about 10 years ago, at least. And automation was kind of still like a, you know, a utopian buzzword that was used, you know, that you can, you know, in the future we'll have self-driving cars and there, you know, and there'll be smart houses and this and that. And so I had thought, you know, well, what, and so I just thought, what would be crazy if we like try to automate government? And what would be the ramifications of it? And at the same time, I think I was watching, I'd start there at that time, like, you know, a lot of stories, at least especially in movies and TV, androids or robot characters were basically fell into two buckets. Either they were the Terminator, they were Skynet, they're completely evil, or they were like Data from Star Trek, you know, very, very competent, extremely, you know, just yearning to be human.
Right.
And I just felt like there was like this wide in the middle that we could explore where like the androids, they are like regular characters. They can be, you know, they can do bad things and they can do good things. And hopefully it makes for a very compelling story. So kind of mixed all those two together, and so came upon this story of like, well, okay, so what if we had like android, you know, world leaders? Like, how would that world look like?
Okay, and that's the premise for delegates.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just, you know. Okay.
we spoil it at the end of the, yeah, at the very end, you know, the cliffhanger for the very first issue is when our main character, she discovers that she's a bodyguard and the president she's protecting is not human.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing delegates? She mentioned 30 issues.
Yeah. So we had planned on writing, we worked together and we decided to go with, to write 30 issues. All the scripts were done. Gosh, in 2017, I would say.
Yeah, I think early 2017 we finished.
Wow. Yeah. And we started the hiring of the artist process a little bit earlier than that, I think.
Yeah.
If I recall. And I don't remember when we got our first issue out. It might have been late 2017, I think, based on Comixology.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
You know, time is weird in this, as you know. So, yeah, so it's been going on for a few years now, and we just passed the halfway mark, and issue 16, actually, I just got the word from Comixology saying that it got accepted. So hopefully it will be released in about a month. Or so.
Yeah, they give you like a day's notice. It's coming out tomorrow. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It is not they easy do. When it no. comes to trying to prepare your social media notifications and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for your Power Squared, like, do you have a digital?
We're on Comixology. We're also on Kindle. We're on Artith Merrick, you can print it out, and also through Kablam you can print it out, and they're also digital. They have a thing called Indie Planet and it's digital and print.
Okay,
so
cool.
They're a little less expensive than Artith Merrick, and they're kind of local, they're Florida or whatever, so
right
so.
Okay.
We try to have as many outlets as possible. Doesn't mean people are rushing to buy them, but yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting to hear about. Yeah, the other options, because yeah, it's like, are you know, clearly they don't have an exclusion aspect to their contracts. So that's good to hear that you can put your comic out in as many outlets as you can.
All right. Yeah, and then I don't know if we're gonna look for more or not. There's some other ones out there we might look at, but yeah, you want to get it as many places that people might find it. I mean, I know the nice thing about Comixology is you're out there, but I like to say it's sort of like being on Netflix. You're just one of the millions of shows that people can hopefully find.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not a guarantee of success being up there.
Yeah.
As someone says, they make all the money. You know, so, they're doing okay. Yeah. But so you have you're having a, when's your 16th issue? It's coming out in a month.
Hopefully, right? Yeah. Based on Comixology's schedule.
Right. Yeah. What are they? Yeah. And so that's cool. And so you guys do the writing, and you have other people do the artwork, right?
Correct.
Yes. So. I noticed it's not the same people on each issue. So are there concerns about continuity or that kind of stuff?
Tina, do you want to take that?
Well, I think that there definitely was a concern for us, but we, you know, our comic goes for so long and it's hard to kind of pin an artist down for saying, hey, you're going to do 30 issues. Even though in my brain I'd be like, wow, wouldn't they want to do 30 issues? But I get it. Yeah. You don't necessarily want to be bogged down to, one comic. So, so I think the changeover is partially out of necessity, but when we've definitely gone when we've gone looking for other people, we are always of the mind of like trying to have a little consistency with it. We don't want to take away their their artistic or any of their style, obviously. So it's kind of like when we bring them in, we're like, we want you to keep your style, but we need it to come a little closer to what our, you know, comic book is already, but please put your print, you know, your imprint on it as well. So, you know, that's kind of how we've operated through this. And now I think Kendall Gates who does the pencils now, I think Kendall's probably been our longest running artist on it, if I'm correct. She's been on it for a while now. How many issues has she been on?
She started, if I recall, she started on issue 7 doing the pencil.
Yeah, so we just did 16. She's doing through 18 at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed, hopefully beyond 18 as
well. Yeah, we have the same hope.
We can keep her going.
Yeah.
But we've definitely, you know, gone through a number of inkers, colorists. We've had some great people. Definitely, we've been super lucky getting some great talent come through the door for it. So it's, you know, we always want to, you know, keep them consistent, but it's all about everybody's schedules. And, you know, we get a lot of people that work on other comic books as well, so they're sometimes they just get way too busy and it just doesn't fit into our schedule, so we have to find somebody else to take over and all that other stuff. So it's a lot of scheduling, really.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
How do you find people? That was one of my how do you find people for your creative team?
Yes, we look very hard. it's not always easy, but we definitely look for recommendations from people as well. How else have we found people? DeviantArt, we found them through there, yeah. And and really a lot of more recommendations in the Qbert school, we went there and got some new kind of artists out of there, which has been great. Mm-hmm. But I think that's about it. What else have we done, Ben? I think that's been...
Well, yeah, just to circle back real quick. Actually, I realized the most consistent artist actually has been Taylor Esposito.
Well, yes, Taylor has. That's
right. Lettering. Here we are, wrapping all the letters again.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I'm sure he's crying, but it's all right.
Taylor there.
Yes, and Taylor actually designed our logo as well, just to give him that prop too.
Nice.
But yeah, Taylor actually, he was instrumental, I think, in finding some of these artists for us because he's been in the game for so long. He helped us out by basically putting a blast on Twitter saying like, hey, I know these comic book artists, they're looking for this type of style, you know, and then they he would send them our way. So we use some of those leads for sure. And then others are just straight out of the blue. Like, you know, it's kind of like the old fashioned way of like somebody likes your or starts following you on Instagram. And clearly their name has artist in there. It's like, oh, I'll check them out. And, oh, good. So let's, you know, see like how if there's something that can be done there. So yeah, it's been all walks of life. Like,
yeah.
Like for you, David and Paul, how's your like artist finding experience been?
Well, we went to Comic-Con and WonderCon. They had a thing called the Comic Creator Connection. We went to
I did that once. Yeah.
We did that for 3 years and almost think you found somebody and then it just doesn't work out. And so we put up we had approached an artist before that we'd actually had met at, WonderCon. And, he didn't go to the Comic Creator Connection, but he was like the most professional person there. I mean, he handed out a card, said he couldn't make it, da da da, and he was by far the most professional person we ran into at that one. And we had approached him once, and he had kind of, I don't think he liked our project. So we had revamped it. I was going to approach him again, and I noticed that he was on a Facebook website that was supposed to connect writers and artists. So I instead went there and said, we're looking for an artist. And we found somebody and a colorist that way. And he ended up being, he was in the Indonesia. And the colorist was in the Philippines, which we thought, he said, originally it said, we thought he was in London, but he ended up being in the Philippines. And so we did 2 issues. We sent him to Comixology. And Chip was very nice. He looked at our stuff. We had actually met Chip through kind of emails and actually ran into him at Comic-Con. And so we sent him those 2 issues and he said, okay, the art's okay. The lettering, which the other creator, Trevor does for us, could be better, but the colorist has to go. And so we were like, okay. And so how do we find a colorist without telling him to, you know, go? And so he put us in touch with SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design. And a couple of the professors there recommended some people, and we ended up, to replace the colorist, we hired a friend of one of the people they recommended, as it turned out.
Yeah.
And she did the first 2 issues and kind of pulled it together and kind of, I'll say, saved us. And then she was going to move on to something else. She recommended somebody from SCAD. They came and did it for 3 issues. And by the time we got to the 5th issue, everybody was sort of getting, I don't know if our artist was getting tired of working with us, but we were getting kind of tired of working with him. It was sort of the pages would come in kind of like we'd do a 20-page comic book. So we'd have like 19 pages, and that 20th page would take like 3 or 4 months to come back or whatever, or just seemed like a long time. And so our colorist, as she was leaving, recommended us, went back through SCAD, and we found our current artist, Rachel Wells. She did a couple of covers for us, 3 and 5, and then she's been the artist since issue 6. And we're working on issue 17 at the moment. So, and then we had another colorist from SCAD, and she, I think she went up to, I forgot what issue she stopped, but we then we put out the feelers and ended up hiring someone local, who's a friend of a friend. Julia Cannon, who's now our current colorist, and she's been doing the last 3 or 4 issues with us. And so our letterer is, again, Trevor. So I kind of, you're going to letter it for us, and you know, I pay him, but minimal. But anyway, so that's how we put together our team.
That's interesting you mentioned, like, you know, finding folks from, like, in Indonesia and in the Philippines. I've had another friend, he found his artist in the Philippines as well. It sounds like there may be a little cottage industry there.
Oh yeah, I think there is.
Of artists out there.
Yeah, and he was, I mean, it was, the style that he was drawing wasn't quite what we were looking for. And I think Rachel is really more spot on to what we were hoping to have it look like.
Yeah.
And the goal would be to have her redo the first 5 issues, but we can't afford that. But, you know, you can dream, you know, but yeah, we sort of like the way it looks now, and that's kind of how we're hopefully going forward. And she is hopefully still with us for the next few issues.
Yeah.
I mean, she hasn't talked about leaving or anything, so we're hopefully that'll work out. So how does your creative process, you've written all the scripts together, all right? I mean, you've written all the scripts. I know some of them are credited to both and some to one or the other, right? So you haven't written all the scripts together, or have you, or?
I think what we've done is, from a credit standpoint, it should be the writer will be either me or Tina.
Okay.
And I think we both put our names both as the creators of the series, or story by if there's ever a chance for us to do that credit. But yeah, generally our process has been, we would take turns. It's a little bit like, I guess I've not been in one, but like, you know, those TV writer rooms where you would divide up the work and say like, okay, you take this episodes, in this case, obviously it's issues. So Tina and I decided to break down the 30 issues into 5-6 issue arcs. And so then we would dive into those 6 issues about like, okay, where do we want to be at the end of that 6 issues? And of course, break down the beats. So we'll do like a pre, like kind of a writer's room where we're throwing ideas out at each other, kind of planning it out. And then once we are comfortable with that, then we divide up the work. Essentially, like I would take the odd number issues, she would take the even number issues, and we would switch off between the, when we go different arcs. But yeah, in general, that's, so when you read the comic books, usually you'll see it's either just saying written by Tina or written by me. And mainly because, yeah, one person has done the bulk of the writing of that. Obviously, then we would discuss it and go back and forth with that.
So now you're having artists, I guess, interpret your work. So how do you guys, I mean, do you sit down and review things as they come in, or do you let the artists have free rein? And at the end of the, I'm done with the issue, and then you look at it. How are you handling that?
We definitely look at everything, and it's it's funny that even how many years later, I feel like, you know, we do delegates work, gosh, I don't know how many days a week, you know, still every week. So we're always looking at pages. So they always, you know, artists, Kendall will send off pages to us to review a certain batch at a time. First she'll do like, you know, first batch of kind of thumbnail sketches type of stuff, and then she'll go into more of her pencils, and we'll, you know, give her feedback on that. And we do that with everybody. We do it with inks, we do it with color, we do, you know, with letters. So we're really in the process. And, you know, I'm always looking at the kind of the big things, but Ben is really good at finding the small things that are wrong. And where I'm just like, what? How did you even see like that? I'm like, man, you are good at catching those little tiny little details that are like, you know, that kind of go by me because I'm just looking at like, all right, that looks right. That goes with the story. Sometimes I'll catch little things, but Ben is kind of the master of catching continuity, which is huge, which Ben is on it in terms of continuity. So it's, there's a lot of that stuff. Obviously, we're in like issue 16, you know, there's so many continuity issues to kind of even follow, you know. We kind of become the police of that stuff. But, you know, we definitely give artists, you know, their room to kind of, you know, put their stamp and show us what, you know, their interpretation of it is. And often, you know, we've had, gosh, even I think lately on one of the issues, you know, Kendall had drawn something that I'm like, wow, that wasn't at all what was Ben may have written, but she really enhanced it and made the scene completely different. And I was like, oh, wow. Thank you, Kendall. You've just made this better. So it can happen. It's just fun to see what their interpretation of the, you know, the script is sometimes. And it's always, you know, something, a surprise sometimes. So it's fun.
Yeah. We send this, we have an artist that does the pencils and the inks, and we send off the script to her, and she'll say, oh, I combined, she sends us 2 sets of thumbnails, And then this one, I combine these two panels, and this one I combine these two, and so, and usually it makes it better. So we're, you know, it's a good to have them have a little free reign to do what they want to do.
Yeah, it's good if it's collaborative like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we give her feedback on, you know, I don't think this is how they would dress, or this isn't right, or mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And she's so it's a good back and forth. But yeah, it is like a constant. There's always something to do with the comic book, even though the writing's already done.
Yeah, you're still in the thick of it, and sometimes it's hard for us because I have to go before this, you know, they start on a new issue and really reread that again, because we wrote it so long ago, and sometimes we'll go and question something of like, why did we write that, or why should we change it? And I'm always like, no, don't change it, because now we're using this brain where we don't remember as many of why we did that. So I'm always nervous about like altering things when, you know, I'm not in that room anymore, you know, and I just want to trust that we worked it out, and that it'll, you know, if there's something glaring, sure, but it's hard to kind of remember back, you know, after you've written 30 issues, to remember every little thing, why you did this and why you did that, you know? So you just kind of have to trust that you did the work and it's good.
So do you guys sit down individually and look at the thumbnails, or do you sit down somehow in a sort of a conference call, or how do you, I mean, so one of you look, I mean, do you both look at the same time, or is it you look at it, have comments, and Ben looks at it and has comments, or?
Yeah, we primarily just use the power of email. It's essentially, both of us have day jobs and obvious, and so it can, you know, our schedules do not always line up where we can decide, you know, let's have a conference at 7 o'clock or something like that. It's very much, you know, whoever gets to reviewing them first will email the other person, saying like, hey, these are the things I liked or didn't like. And then the other person will add their thoughts and respond to those. Eventually, usually in about two or three emails, I would say, exchanges, we've had a finalized compiled list of things that we have basically come to a consensus about. And then usually I will then compile that list and send that list of changes to the artist. And so far that's worked out pretty well, you know, and so in some ways that's been, yeah. So we've only maybe once or twice had to get on the phone to really have to work through something that was very confusing and required us to actually talk in person to really figure something out, instead of trying to go back and forth, because I'm sure anyone who's used email before, you know, some things are easier to give information or to discuss. Some conversations are better done by email, and others are just simply better in person or virtually.
There was I go back to, I guess it was Warner Brothers used to have their little memos they would write to each other, and it was make sure, you know, to avoid confusion, write it down kind of a deal. So we tried to at least kind of put our thoughts together and send them off. But, you know, ask her, you know, do you agree with this? You can always come back. So far it's been kind of, But yeah, it's good to have we sit down and look at all the work as it comes in, and then give feedback to the artist and the colorist, but we're sort of in the same room, so it's easier for us.
Yeah, we're on different ends of LA, so it's a little hard for us.
Yeah. So how long does it take to do an issue? I mean, besides obviously the writing's been done for 4 years now, but how long does it take for an issue after that to get completed?
You mean until it's ready to be submitted to like Comixology, or do we want to include the Comixology time?
No, let's talk about you complete the work, and then it's Comixology is the sort of the hold up.
Okay. I would say when things are working well, we can usually get a comic out to be submitted for Comixology or Art of Merrick. In about 2 months, I would say. I think has been our best times. Yeah. In general, because yeah, I would say Kendall usually needs about six. She can sometimes bang out an issue in 6 weeks, I think. And what we did was, instead of having Kendall do all 20, and actually we asked her to do the cover as well, so 23 pages, we break it out into three batches of pages, so that when one batch is done, we can immediately send it to the inker to get going on that. So usually by the time we're ready, by the time all 23 pages are inked, they can be sent to the colorist. And the colorist usually, well, yeah, it depends. We've had some colors who can like complete a whole set in like 2 weeks or something. I mean, but then I think they got busier after that. and then lettering, Taylor, he's I've seen him turn things around in 2 days.
Wow.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
So we and that's, of course, you know, it's just when things are humming, you know, it always change. It's never, things never work out perfectly schedule wise. But I think that's the quickest I've ever seen is 2 months. So I would say, more in fairness, on average, maybe 2.5 months. I don't know. What do you think, Tina?
Yeah, no, I think that's about right. I think you're right. When it's all good and running, it's 2 months, and it's, and we all like are everywhere. Like Ben and I are in LA, but what, we have Kendall's in Houston, Rachel's up in Seattle, I want to say.
State of Washington. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, state of Washington up there.
It's a big state, but okay. Yeah. Up there somewhere, but at least yeah.
It's like everybody is everywhere, you know. So it's always kind of a fun, and that's the kind of beauty of us being able to do this, you know, digitally, and like that everybody can do work everywhere and, you know, still be able to do it. So we can have artists from anywhere, and well, it doesn't have to be just here.
Our newest colorist, Ellie Wright, she's in Ireland.
Yeah, she's in Ireland.
Yeah.
Wow.
In our letter Taylor, he's in New Jersey.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
Yeah. So you have to go visit your colorist at some point after the pandemic's over.
Yeah.
It's a business trip to go to Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be tough. So has COVID impacted your process at all? I mean, it's all digital and all through email and stuff, I would say no, but I just thought I'd always ask the question.
We were COVID-proof going into this.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, it hasn't changed it. I would say it's changed the business aspect of it, the financial aspect of it, because there was a lot of uncertainty on my end, because usually I'm paying the artists out of my own pocket. There was a lot of economic uncertainty within my company. So that was definitely a big concern, and it was a tough decision about like, well, should we tighten our belts and like, you know, slow down production, or even like go on a hiatus for a little bit just to make sure, like, you know, I just simply because of I didn't know if I would have a job. So like, I think that was the biggest thing. And besides that, I would say, and I'm sure you guys have probably done this also, is like, we can't go to WonderCon, we can't go to these conventions to, you know, especially now after having Ardeth Merrick, I can now print, actually have physical copies on, you know, to bring to conventions. Like that is something that we're unable to do because of the pandemic. So I would say that part seems to be the biggest impact.
So have you been at conventions with delegates, or just an attendee, or how's that worked?
We haven't been there with it yet. We certainly went to like WonderCon. Where else did we go? We've been to other conventions prior to it. I think right when the first couple of issues came out, we went out and kind of went to the conventions and kind of tried to pass out, you know, postcards and, you know, and all that, but we hadn't really invested yet into like getting a table or any of that. We're always trying to go back and forth on, you know, where's the best place to spend your money, you know, to get the word out about it. Is it better just to throw it in the marketing and try to just get people to talk about it online, or is it better to go to the conventions and spend money? So it's always a thing of, you know, what's the best way to promote your comic? What have you guys found is the best way?
We're still looking for the best way to promote. No, sadly, we have not found that magic. We're trying, you know, we've been to a really small convention, the San Fernando Valley Comic Book Convention. Yeah. And that was, we were the only ones there with a new comic book. Everybody mostly was there to collect and, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
And then we did a signing was it Free Comic Book Day? We had a signing up at the local comic book store, which was sort of good. That was the first time we'd actually been out and had people, you know, sign up for the mailing list and that kind of stuff. And we were going to have a signing at Golden Apple on the Saturday after they shut everything down. So we missed out on that. Yeah. I was like, oh, crap. Wow. So we haven't done anything since. We've applied for a table, which I don't think Comic-Con's actually going to happen this year. So we applied for an artist alley table. Those are free. And you can be a writer and be an artist. So that was good. So we'll see if anything ever happens. That's with a good that. Tip. Yeah, and you know that you're professionals, right? And you get free admission to Comic-Con.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That so. We didn't know. But the other tip, I don't think we did.
Paying for a table, yeah.
Yeah, yeah so yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah, well, there's a long line of people waiting to get tables, I found out, too.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably, I think they said it's not guaranteed for us because they already had people from...
Last year's they couldn't get, yeah. So
they might prioritize them ahead of when.
Yeah.
That's the phone going off. Yeah.
All right, we're.
It's live. You know it's live.
Yeah. Our in-home studio. So, who is the ideal reader for delegates?
Oh.
Good
question.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I would say, you know, folks who are interested in, for lack of a better word, like adult stories, and I don't mean by like, you know,
salacious,
you know, naughty stuff, but more like folks who, you know, want science fiction, but they don't necessarily want are in the mood for something other than, you know, superheroes in capes.
Right.
You know, our characters are, you know, kind of, they're as much as they can based in, grounded in reality. It's almost, Tina and I think we talked about certain TV shows that we kind of wanted to model after a little bit. And, you know, I think, when it was really popular, like 24, I think was really in my head at that time. Obviously we've gone more of a drama, so maybe it's a little more like, I don't know, West Wing or something. I don't know what the analog
it's
here
hard is. To, it's hard to find a show that, because it is political and it is sci-fi, but it also has a bit of humor to it and it also has some action to it. So it's kind of hard to pick like what it could be kind of compared to. But I think there, because of the politics and the science kind of behind it, I think, yeah, it's definitely appeals to a different, although I, you know, read capes and all that, you know, tights and capes, but also will read this too. So I think that there are, you know, plenty of people that go both sides of that. So, but yeah, it is a little bit more of a, you know, it's not just an easy, quick flip, I don't think.
So,
although, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like thought, I guess, yeah, people who want thought-provoking stories.
So how do you connect with who you think your ideal reader is?
Well, that's always the question, and that's always the goal is to try to keep connecting. I mean, we, you know, besides kind of promoting it on socials and stuff, it is always about us trying to find that audience. You know, we've certainly had some decent reviews, you know, from some sites, which has been good, but it's, I think that's always the challenge. I mean, I think for any of us is to try to find that audience and to make sure you're kind of tuned in on who that audience is and being able to find them. So it's, you know, it's always one of those things we're searching for, is to try to get our audience to the book, you know?
Yeah. We understand that.
yeah, I'm sure you do.
So, what sort of social media presence do you have?
So we're on Instagram, Twitter, we have a Facebook page, no TikToks because I don't know how you would do a TikTok.
Well, no.
Even though that's where all the cool kids are these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think our chorus is on TikTok occasionally, so we're, if you want to do it, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're an artist, like, that could work. Yeah. I've seen Kendall do like these time lapse videos on her Instagram reel, so like I'm sure like some artists, they've done that, you know.
Yeah.
Our colorist streams coloring it on Twitch. She'll have a little.
Oh wow.
You know, she does video games and she does the coloring of Power Square, so that's kind of nice to have. It's out there for people to follow her to at least see it. So that's good.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah, because that's been one of the challenges, frankly, is with social media, you have to keep pumping out new content almost weekly or daily. And as mentioned, you know, we basically, if we're lucky, we have a new issue out every 2.5 months. Like, what do you fill in that time in between?
Yeah.
And if you have an artist who is willing to, just by their nature, is doing Twitch streams of them doing work, like, that seems like a really cool collab. I don't know what's the right word. Synergy.
Yeah. We're happy that she's doing it. So we don't.
It's really cool.
So how did you guys hook up with Artith Merrick, since they're the common bond here? Did you approach them? They approach you? How did you?
They approached us. I think either so. We got onto Comixology first, and then we were looking for a publisher to, you know, be able to print in do imprint, which was why we were trying to go to like WonderCon and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, no such luck. And then suddenly, just out of the blue, Stephen B of Artith Merrick reached out to us. And said, "Hey, I really like your work. You know, we think you'd be a very good fit here." And I obviously had not really heard of Artith Merrick. It was one of those, like, you know, I had to do a little research, due diligence. I was like, wow, okay, this could be a very interesting opportunity here. Definitely very glad that they reached out to us. And gave us this another outlet, because I know, you know, digital is, you know, obviously here to stay, and a lot of people are reading comics digitally, and you know, from an environmental standpoint, it probably is more environmentally friendly to be reading off of, you know.
But you want to hold it in your hands.
Right, but nevertheless, there's still always going to be diehard comic book fans that want the book. Right. So to have Artith Merrick give us that outlet is definitely very, very, we feel very fortunate about that.
Yeah.
Have you taken advantage of their, like, they make t-shirts and things like that, or do you have merch?
We do need to take advantage of that. We have not yet. That's something I should.
Yeah, we have t-shirts that we have. But if you want to buy them, they're available there.
That's awesome. I was admiring them as I was looking.
Yeah, well, San Romero is where the characters go to school. So we decided to have so we have a, and then we, when you're signing up for the newsletter, you're actually enrolling at San Romero Community College. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well done.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we were trying to just do something kind of different with it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's, we say hound dogs because that's the symbol of the school, or is a hound dog.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool.
So anyway, enough about us.
No.
So you have 30 issues you're going to do. Is that it?
Yep.
Is there any thought about doing something else together, or?
Most definitely. I think we're always interested in doing other things. I think it's just always a matter of our time. You know, it's like we ventured to start trying something new. We had another idea that we were gonna, you know, and we'll get to that. It's just Delegates does take so much time to get out the door. You know, we do spend many hours a week, you know, approving this, approving that, and, you know, pushing it out. So it's really all about our time that we, you know, when we can jump into something and give that time, because we both have outside projects we're doing too. So it's, I'm hoping, maybe, gosh, when this thing really gets buzzing, but I feel like it's always going to be in this space. We're hoping to do something together again for sure.
Now, do you see Delegates being a TV series maybe or something?
It would be in a very expensive one.
Well, you can also make it animated, I guess. Well, that might.
That's true. That would be fun. That would be interesting.
So since we mentioned that, we're producers on the show, just so you know. Okay. You hadn't thought of it, so we'll get credit for it. All right. So where would people find out more about Delegates? Do you have a website? Tell us your website.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Delegates Comic. That's our Twitter handle. And I believe Delegates Comic is also where you can find us on Facebook, the Facebook page. And then I believe,
are you typing something?
Yes, I'm typing this. Okay. There's not a website for Delegates Comics, but you can look for it, find more information on my personal website called imaginebin.com.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool name for a website.
Oh, so. Yeah. Thank you. And of course, you can find it on Comixology and Art of the Merrick.
Right. You have your own store there. All right. Yes. So.
All right. So if you liked this conversation and you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like if you liked it. Subscribe if you want to see more, and ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
All right. So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.